Do you always have to have a massive budget to do a great ad these days?
It's exciting to see where we are.
Purpose work has been kind of a thing in the industry, but you always know when it's not the right fit, where a brand's almost just doing it.
I love that piece. It's like it kind of almost arrests you, it kind of like pulls you in.
That's the work for me. That's the work for the next couple of years.
This is Talking in Creative Circles, the official podcast of The Creative Circle, the voice of South Africa's advertising industry, in partnership with Kagiso Media Radio.
Welcome to the very first episode of Talking in Creative Circles. It's the official podcast of The Creative Circle in South Africa, produced in partnership with Kagiso Media Radio. Over the next few months, we'll be covering issues that are shaping South Africa's ad industry. And for each episode, we'll be inviting creative experts to share their knowledge and insights. And today, the very first guest host, I'm Carl Willoughby, Chief Creative Officer of TBWA Huntless Chorus. And joining me for this episode is Sibusiso Sithole, Co-Founder and Chief Creative Officer of The Odd Number. Welcome, Spu. And Rihanna Williams, Co-Founder and Chief Creative Officer of Boundless, a very, very, very new independent agency. Rihanna, well done. Rihanna is the current chairperson of the Creative Circle. She'll be handing over to me, which is crazy. So for the next 2 years, I'll take over from Rihanna's very big shoes. So hopefully just wish me luck on that one. Welcome, Ro. Welcome, Spu. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Carl. Great to be here. Congrats on you as a new chairman, and congrats, Rihanna, on your new agency.
Thank you. Yeah. Congrats, Carl. You got cool. a big job ahead of you.
Big shoes to fill, right? So the topic for this episode is the Creative Circle Best of the Year Awards, and they've just been announced. And as you'll know, they were called Ad of the Year, but it's called Best of the Year now. And the format for this conversation is very simple. We're going to go through some of the advertising categories, talk about some of the winners that stood out, and some of the overall creative trends from 2023. But before we start, it's just worth explaining how Best of the Year works. You know, the finalists, you know, everyone knows the Ad of the Month awards every month. So they all kind of go through to the ultimate Best of Year. And then they all get judged with each other for an ultimate first, second, and third prize. So we judged a number of categories, and there were 10, and quite a large volume of work to go through, which is very exciting from 2023. In the podcast, we'll get into the work and unpack our favorite work and what we liked. But Ro, Spu, for both of you, what was your favorite work and why?
You know, there were quite a few that I really enjoyed, but I have to point out the one because my favorite piece won in that category. The award that won in that category was Ricky Ricks, Stronger, the beautiful piece done, I think, actually by TBWA. And it's just a really beautiful way of shining a light on mental awareness, using the late Ricky Rick, who passed away from a mental illness. It's a very inspiring piece of work that really does address an issue in a way that has got so much integrity. And also, of course, the way they did it and how they used AI to create it, and, you know, how they took his live tweets and actually created the song from it before he passed away. I just think it's an absolutely beautiful, beautifully done piece with a lot of integrity.
Thanks, Ro.
I think what was really cool about that piece was in a couple of categories, right?
Yes.
It did well across a couple of categories. I know in audio it did quite well as well, right? So why I really liked that is it's just proof that you can have something integrated and also strong across a number of different channels or mediums.
Yes.
Which is really, really cool.
Told me I could be what I want. The game messed up, I wanna leave but I won't. Fans tell you that they gon' buy your stuff but they don't. Ish, I guess it's only pictures they want. I take it back to the days before we ever knew we'd ever get paid. Before these people knew the records we made. Before Twitter, before we could complain about records that never get played. I'm just trying to have my memory saved. Ish, but look, this is not the greatest loss in this life. The greatest loss is what dies inside while we're alive. That's why I really want you to remember that you have to take care of the people that are close to you. I mean, how much does it cost to show somebody love? We can only rise by lifting others above where they have landed. And there's madness in love, but there's always some reason in madness. And I return stronger.
Audio was my favorite as well. I guess historically I have a bias for audio. It's kind of been my favorite category for many years, but I really love seeing tech versus old, well, not old school, but classic writing, right? And what's beautiful, I think, this year is you've got a mix of both. where you've got your writers or our writers showing up really strongly, writing really beautiful pieces. And then the Ricky Rick just shows what you can do with technology and audio as well.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Boo. Yeah, I think, I mean, I can talk a little bit about it from our side. We produced it. I think it's just a great piece. I think it was sad about him, about Ricky Rick himself, but the ability to use the tweets, write the lyrics, jump through certain hoops, trying to bring his voice alive, which was quite interesting. You know, you can imagine for the family, it was quite triggering because, you know, kind of bringing their son's voice back to life, you know. So the process and the journey of that was quite a journey to go through. But we were pretty happy with the outcome. I think one of the great things for us, you know, we did a lot of inspiration sessions with clients. And, you know, often you see this purpose-driven work, and it's hard to always do the purpose-driven work in your day-to-day stuff. But for us with that, it was just such a nice, meaningful campaign. The team behind it were all behind it from our side. The family were all behind it. It felt like you were, you know, all our partners in Josie, you know, Nick from that side, everyone was on board for this kind of bigger purpose. So that was really great for us, you know. But what do you guys think of the overall standard from this year's body of work? If you consider last year's work, you know, I think there were a couple of things we'll kind of chat about, but what did you think of the overall standard, if I may ask?
So yeah, I mean, the overall standard for me was a little bit low, specifically in certain categories. And you'll see the results also showcase that. I mean, we didn't really award in print and in live. And we took the stance that the work we're putting out there is the best of the year. And we just felt that, you know, will this work really inspire better work? So we chose not to award it in order to challenge people to push a little bit harder in those specific categories. That said, there was some really cool stuff in design this year. We had a lot of debate, a lot of conversation about the design work. There was beautiful craft, beautiful ideas, and really nice conceptual design work, which I think is super important. I think sometimes design can look pretty, but when you've got a real beautiful concept that sort of dictates the design, it's so much stronger. And then, yeah, they were also great. I mean, radio is, you know, South Africa is quite good at radio. And I'm sure, Sabu, you'll expand on this. And, you know, in the past, we've always been good with radio. And I think we saw some very nice radio. The only issue was there was a lot of radio trying to be the radio from the past. So often you like listen and you almost sit there while you're judging and you say, kind of, you know, heard this before. And it's like almost like you think the creatives are just trying to maybe try and copy a past sort of tonality, where I would encourage people to start thinking a little bit out the box, you know. And audio is such a beautiful medium to really push. Even at Cannes this year, there was so much beautiful different use of the audio medium. And I think as South Africans, we need to start pushing that a little bit more. And I think, again, the Ricky Rick piece, it didn't win, it came second in radio, but it does show how can one use audio in a different way. And yeah, so I thought that was really, really good.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Unfortunately, it's always been a thing where there's a great style of radio that's cracked. And for the next couple of years, you're almost seeing manifestations of that or versions of that until we're all sick of it, right? I feel like that's always going to happen. I think we're probably at that stage now with radio where we're kind of looking for something new. I'm really hoping like next year from a writing, from how things are put together, from even just the concepts, that we're looking at something that's a little bit more game-changing for radio. And I also think that, I mean, look at us now, we're doing a podcast, you know, I mean, the landscape has shifted quite dramatically. And I just wonder what are the cleverer ways of using the medium, but still telling a story. I'm a firm believer that there also still needs to be room for writers to show off from a skill set point of view and write a beautiful story. But yeah, I tend to agree that there's probably a need to just be a little bit more surprising. And then, yeah, and then print, yeah, I don't know what's happening there. Maybe actually we should say nothing's happening in print. It kind of feels like agencies and clients are not really investing in print, which makes sense. But, you know, I wonder what the future looks like there.
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, when you, like, before we get into the print and I think print and live communications, we didn't award anything. But when you see the body of work that you got to judge through from the pre sort of live judging that we did a few weeks ago, you can see that radio and TV are still our biggest categories. So they're still, I mean, we're still doing that. And I think creatively, we're still doing that. And maybe I speak from like a Ricky Rick point of view, is like, you know, and we see this even with print, right? Is globally, we'll see how the media, it's almost like the medium is in the medium, like the medium is fulfilling another aspect of a bigger campaign. And sometimes print suffers from that, you know, like print might be the call to action for this to get onto that. And similarly in outdoor as well, in some spaces, right? But it's quite interesting because I think the A Million Girls Foundation's piece, Tiny Truths, that's traditional radio. It's well written, it's well performed, well crafted. But in this world where we try to take the medium and almost innovate in that medium, that was a piece that I guess people kind of unanimously agreed. I'm speaking about the judges. Everyone agreed that that was just the best piece. And it didn't innovate in the radio space. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but it just ticked all the boxes. Perhaps we can play that clip now for everyone to hear. It will be in vernacular, but maybe we can just talk about it afterwards.
Mashume mabini anesithathu kwinyinyele lusisebenzi kunetha ngathi izinyembe zizindoda ifelwe zingoma olu lulunye nje usuku olufana nolunye oluya esikolweni kululama akukadluli nenkota kuhambo lwakhe esihlangu sezicula kwakrazulu akukho nomlambo oquphilayo ngama endleleni yakhe eya esikolweni xuvululu wewela umlambo ngembahla ethwele incwadi yenhloko ngathi kumtshakazi obuya kutheza yengungu. Ngaphesheya komlambo kumhlophe qhwa ingungu. Kulapho akhumbula amabali ezithunzela ezingqungqalamahlanje. Betha intliziyo yesifuba athwebalela ade afumane indawo yokusithela. Esasithele njalo kuvela silwanyana sithile esimphaphathekisa ngathi lisisela elibona imoto yamapolisa. Incedwa yintsimbi yesikolo ekhalayo ligama imifutshane imixelela ukuba seleke ufutshane nesikolo. Mfuxumfuxu engena eklasini ngezihlangu ezimanzi kanye ngexesha likamasidumisa. Le indlela kalulama yamihla yonke ngaphandle kwengxaki, kodwa namhlanje unexhala lokungayi esikolweni kuba usexesheni. Ndwendwela Million Girls Foundation wenze umahluko wokuqinisekisa ukuba amantombazana asisigidi afumana imfundo engaphazamisekiyo ngexesha lokuya kwawo exesheni. A Million Girls.
I really love the writing. I think that's what stands out for me the most. And I think it's always refreshing for me. I mean, I feel like I've been talking about writing this whole podcast, but it's always refreshing for me to hear really beautiful writing, particularly in vernac. It's not something you hear often. I think often our characters and our stories are told in vernac, but let's say Soweto vernac as opposed to like pure Xhosa, which is what it is in this case. So I really appreciated the use of language in the writing. I thought the performance was cool as well. But yeah, and also just a meaningful message as well that it was carrying. And radio is relevant in this particular case because I think the people you're talking to are primarily on radio as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what was so beautiful about it is the rawness of it. It felt like it was telling us a story in a way that just didn't sugarcoat anything. It just felt like so real, so raw, so like something you could just go, oh my word. And then it just at the end gives you that twist. And, you know, I just love that about it completely. And I think if it was said in English, it just wouldn't have the impact at all. The storytelling for me of that piece really lay in using the language. And and that's, I think, why it also won in the Mazatal category as well. It's just absolutely beautifully told. And again, it taps into, like you were saying, Sabu, storytelling is so important and also writing and how you do that. I mean, this for me is such a, it feels so South African in the way the story is formed and told. And it's just, it really, it's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, obviously the subject matter is quite hardcore, but it is just a really beautifully told piece of communication.
No, it was quite unanimous, I must say. I didn't think anyone contested that. We'll move on to outdoor. Ogilvy did the blind spot monitor for VW. I think also a piece that everyone kind of, I don't think there were any real discrepancies around that. I think everyone loved it. I think the craft of it, I don't think there were any conversations around the nature of it. You know, it was an outdoor piece in its truest form. It kind of innovated in that space. What were your thoughts on that, Ro? I know you'd appreciate outdoor.
Yeah, I love outdoor. This is also one of my favorite pieces that's come out of South Africa this year. I just love how it is so well crafted. And obviously conceptually, it's really strong as well. We just don't see crafted outdoor like that enough, I don't think. it's super clever and it's obviously done in store, which is really nice. It's engaging with the people. Maybe I should just sort of explain it a little bit. It's like, you know, they use this very, very dark ink, which is blacker than black almost. And they did almost like a round circular kind of outdoor piece. And coming out of that is a person on a motorbike, for example, having an accident in a blind spot. So it's like you can imagine this expression of this person going about to fall off their bicycle. But when you look directly at this round circular thing, all you see is black, nothing else. And when you slightly come off the straight line, you come to the left or to the right of it, you can actually see the actual sculpture that's actually coming out of that blind spot. Unbelievably powerful and beautifully done. So yeah, hats off to the team on that one and yeah, VW for doing it.
Yeah, I guess we all know that it won internationally as well. And while that doesn't necessarily influence our judging it out of the year, I think it was unanimous, right? I think the good ideas do stand out no matter the show, which I think is cool. What did you think, Spoo?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I actually had a brother of mine who's not in the industry at all come to the Lurie's last year and he saw it there. And he couldn't stop talking about it afterwards. And I love that. You know, it's always interesting to see this, the work we make through other people's eyes. And I think the blind spot is so simple, so easy to get, doesn't need a hell of a lot of explaining. It's not an inside joke. You just get it, right? Mm-hmm. And I must just underscore the craft, cheap as those things, the sculptures, right? It was really, really pretty as well to look at. It is very satisfying, very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Piece as a whole. And a lot can be said for craft. As I think these days we're like in an industry that we find ourselves getting work out quickly all the time, boom, 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 on to the next one, and maybe not spending enough time on craft. And I did, even in the first round of judging, find that there's some potential in some ideas, but the craft just lets them down. And I think, you know, this piece is a good example of just that investment and what that means for a piece.
And I think, you know, touching on how they produced this, this wasn't an idea they could do very quickly. And I think it's important to spend time on those ideas that are really worthwhile and amazing and to take the time to craft that, go through the process. I mean, when you hear the back end story of like it does, these ideas take a lot of time and this one really shows that. It's amazing, really beautifully done.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing there. There are all the kind of principles or ingredients for me that make up a good case study. And it's like insight, idea, amplification, all of that kind of stuff. But there's something even, and I'm not speaking just about the craft of the actual outdoor piece, but there's something even just in the craft of the case study, which is quite important. Emotion and craft within a case study are two equally important ingredients to help make something feel more than, you know, I'm not saying more than what it is, but just elevate things. And I think the craft of the actual outdoor for blind spot was great. The craft of the case study for me was also great. Yeah, craft goes a long way. And I think we forget that. And that's something from a creative circle point of view that we should value more. And I think maybe acknowledge more, I think. But that's a conversation for another podcast, I guess. Interestingly, film. So film was one of the other big categories in terms of entries. And this year there was an interesting mix, right? Like, so the first piece was for Chicken Licken brand, you know, with the coach. The second one was for Rock My Soul. And the third one was for Capital Legacy. And it's an interesting one because I think in the film space, we're seeing a lot of like big high productions dominate. For me, the Halo piece was an interesting one. The Capital Legacy piece was an interesting one where I think it's well polished and crafted and all that, but it's not quite in the same kind of formula or format as the big Chicken War sort of productions. What did you guys think about that?
Film for me was a difficult one because when I was going through the work, I kept thinking, do you always have to have a massive budget to do a great ad these days? And I think it's important to not get stuck into that because for me, idea is definitely the king, you know. And again, I refer to Cannes, what won at Cannes this year in film wasn't high production. It was high production, but it wasn't like a whole lot of locations and travel and all that kind of stuff. It was just a locked off shot of a guy with a lizard, right? really beautifully told. So I think it's important, you know, there were some pieces, unfortunately, I didn't quite cut it into the winning, but there were some pieces that had lower budgets, which were really, really nice, actually. I was very happy that Capital Legacy came through as well because it's also showcasing, I don't know, I can't remember the exact length of it, but it shows that, yes, it's like 60 seconds. And it's, you can do a great ad still, even if you cut that ad to a 30, it still works really, really well. You can tell that story, you know, So I really enjoyed that. Obviously, the Chicken Licken ones, full-on entertainment, long formats, beautifully crafted, unbelievable production values, best directors and all those sorts of things.
My name is José. Merci beaucoup. I came to South Africa in 2010 as kit manager, and I never left. People have said I have changed football forever because of my tactics. Unorthodox. A little.
There is room for those little gems to come through now, and also to push our thinking a little bit. How do we create work that on our smaller budgets that also stands up against the big guys as well? Yeah.
100%.
I think there was a lot of film to look at, but I wasn't necessarily blown away by film, I must be honest, this year. I do think it's the right winner. I thought that piece was amazing. It's really, really cool. It is nice to see the Capital Legacies coming in. But yeah, I think overall, I feel like film could be stronger next year.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it'll be good to see how the format can be innovated, if that makes sense, how the storytelling can kind of shift in that space. Yeah, and then just a couple of categories to talk about. I think from a design point of view, we haven't really touched on that much, but The Grid came first with the work for The Pantry. Everyone knows The Pantry for the Joburg-based people of here. I love The Pantry. But that piece did really well. What did you guys think of it?
Yeah, its power was its simplicity, right? It was just beautifully simple, right? The Pantry work. I actually quite enjoyed going through the case because, and I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but I hadn't picked up the actual Pantry behind the Pantry logo. So what I'm trying to talk about is the way the system is built, or the typography is done, is based on sort of the shelving of the Pantry, which is really cool. But yeah, I think it's charm and its simplicity won us over, right? So yeah, this is a really nice piece.
The Pantry. I was there yesterday, actually. And what's really nice about the Pantry, because I was paying more attention to it, right? They even do these projections onto the wall, which actually show how the logo builds. And I hadn't actually noticed that before. Now I'm really noticing that. And it's actually a very beautiful system. And there's something in, it's very simple, yet it's got that storytelling aspect to it, you know, because we're talking about like writing storytelling. Design is also a format of storytelling. And it's this whole story around the concept of Pantry and what it's for and who it's targeting. So I think there's a beauty in design storytelling as well here that I really enjoyed. But we have to talk about also the motion graphics in this category because, you know, it's interesting. I think in the past, we haven't seen much motion graphics jump into the winnings, but we had two motion graphics come second and third. And I think they were just so also conceptual, beautifully done. Ricky Rick was obviously the motion graphics of the music video. Beautifully done. Absolutely beautifully done. And using graphics, you know, just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And then VW as well, beautiful calendar they did. I think it was for Christmas they started the calendar. It was just beautifully done and entertaining as well. Again, like lots of storytelling in there. Each little animation had its own little quirks and characters and humor. And it's just really the depth of, again, craft is just insane, but beautifully done, beautifully.
Yeah, I guess the debate in the room was just around, you know, would you split the categories? I don't know if you guys had views on that. For lack of a better word, traditional design and maybe motion graphics on its own.
Yeah. I mean, I felt that. I felt like it was a bit, just personally, I felt like it was a bit unfair to have I think design's a thing on its own in a good way, but I feel like you've got a piece of corporate identity competing with motion graphics, competing with something else, you know, so it makes it a tough category. I think the design winners should be proud of their wins, but I think it's a tough one. It almost feels like it needs some subcategories. I mean, I know there are subcategories within Ad of the Month and Ad of the Year, but I think it'll be good to have within those, like just have their own kind of time in the sun personally, you know? So that would be my point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that because it is very difficult. But even in film, it's difficult because you've got full-on big format film, and then you've got branded content or you've got content pieces. So in a lot of the categories, there's this discrepancy. But unfortunately, like the award show is not that big. So to start splitting them, you kind of get too few in a specific category. So it's a challenge we live with. Hopefully we'll grow in the future and we'll be able to split it because that will be the best way to do it. But it's almost like seeing it as like, what is the Grand Prix of the year, right? of the best of the year. You almost have to look at it like that because it is hard to split everything. Yeah.
Stupid question, maybe, Ro, but how come motion graphics isn't with film? How come it's with design?
Well, if you think about motion graphics competing against likes of a Chicken Licken or KFC, I don't think it stands a chance necessarily, depending on what it is. It's still, if it's using motion graphics, it's got to be a massive piece of, like a big piece of film that uses motion graphics. Like Ricky Rick might have stood against those. That's but if you I'm put saying. In the VW stuff, you just, I don't even know if it would have got an out of the month. You know, it's just, it's so difficult to do that. And I think, yeah, maybe motion graphics is because it's more of a graphic approach to things. Yeah, I'm not sure. Mm. But that's definitely a topic of conversation that's come up over and over again. And we do need to look at it more tightly and going forward. But it's great to see that design's better. I mean, I don't think last year was as strong as this, but this year we had a lot of good contenders. It was really good stuff.
There were some really good design pieces, in my opinion. There's a piece, I guess, interestingly, it wasn't in design. I don't think it was, but a piece that I really loved. I think the craft of it, every piece of detail for me was, you could see it was interrogated. The writing was great. Production was great. It was for PPS, you know, by Promise. Promise did that, the Forgotten Graduates. I love that piece. It's like, it kind of almost arrests you as a, just from a case study point of view, when you look at it, it kind of like pulls you in, sets the stuff up, gives you the context of everything, finding the Forgotten Graduate. Let's have a listen.
Good morning.
Basically, I'm trying to find information on
who South Africa's first university graduate of color was.
I know. How is it that I can't find anything?
So no one knows.
Nothing on pre-apartheid.
Pre-apartheid black intellectuals. Nothing.
Graduate Professional Insurer PPS presents Finding the Forgotten Graduate. A 20-month collaboration between historians, actuaries, and creatives to resurrect the success of a forgotten black life and pay it forward into the future with the world's only posthumous life policy.
What did you guys think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for PPS, it's quite a brave and amazing piece that the client did. And I think, yes, the craft, the writing, everything was really done beautifully, especially for that target audience. And again, a beautiful integrated piece. They had a lovely piece of film. They had an amazing digital website, which you could go into and actually find out who were the first graduates of color in our country and read more about them. And absolutely the whole, it's sort of like done on a timeline. The whole way it was done is just also beautifully done. You almost get sucked into this website and you just want to keep going and you're following this line and these different dates and you jump in and you read about this person, you read about that person. And again, a lovely piece because it is purpose, but it's the right purpose for the brand. I mean, I just think it's they nailed that, definitely.
What do you think, Spoo?
No, I agree with everything Ro said. I mean, I think it was crafted really beautifully. And I like what you just said now, Ro, just the right purpose for the brand, right? Purpose work has been kind of a thing in the industry, but you always know, you always can tell when it's not the right fit, right? Where a brand's almost just doing it and there's no real fit to or connection to the brand. And I think in this case, it's like bang on. So it's made a lot of sense for the brand. Yeah. And I honestly think it was just a beautiful piece all around. Yeah.
No, that's great. Is there a piece that we might not have spoken about that you might want to talk about?
I mean, I can talk about the one that I thought might win in print, but it wasn't in print. It was a Checkers idea that was flighted, in the UK.
Oh, yes.
It was in there, but it just wasn't, we didn't feel it was in the right category. And I felt like, oh, damn, if that was in print, it might have, you know, shone. So, yeah, it's really, really important. Just bringing us to a point of, when one enters work, we got to be very, very sure that the work is entered into the right category. Because the minute you get into the jury room and there's any hint of this shouldn't really be in this category and we aren't able to change it to another category, you know, the piece is still really good, but it may not shine.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I also thought that piece was something to talk about. I mean, I thought that was really cool. You're right. It was in the wrong category. And that's something I think agencies should really take care in doing going forward, right? It's just making sure that things are entered and packaged properly. And I think also for the case, so it's not as if you just use the one case study for all the different categories, right? You've got to talk to how it's strong in that particular category in your case study. So there may be just be a little bit of work that needs to be done in strengthening, particularly case studies for a particular medium or category in some cases.
Yeah, because often when it comes to discussing whether this is worthy of a gold, a silver, bronze, or a first, second, or third, this is where the case study is like crucial. Because if you up, like, say, for example, in PR, it's, you know, going to really be looking deeply into what exactly did that do on PR? What was the talkability around it? What did they reach, et cetera, et cetera? So all those things really, it has to be flawless. Otherwise, it's the difference between a gold or first dropping to a second or a third. So those little finer details, the devil's in the detail. You've got to have that detail in there. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's the second ad of the year that I've judged. Also quite a privilege. Great to see all the work. But what is clear for me is that you can see where the scores kind of net out, the conversations that kind of shift things up or down. I think for me, to kind of wrap up, I think, you know, it's a pity about print. I mean, I think that's an opportunity for all of us for the coming year. It's low-hanging fruit for me. Interesting about live communication is just the standard of that, where I think, you know, you see a body of work come in, and it's just, it just feels like we can't just award for the sake of because we got fewer entries or just the standard isn't good enough. I think for me, one of the things with Creative Circle is to make sure that we're pushing the caliber of the work, the quality of the work. I guess we could say as a sample of three is that I think we're proud of the work that's come through from this body from 2023 from South Africa. And I think we can still improve on this, right? I think it's exciting to see where we are. It's exciting to see some of the tech stuff, the traditional story stuff, storytelling stuff integrated. But I'm excited. Hopefully all the constraints that we've suffered from COVID and economy sort of stuff, maybe that's hopefully in the new year, we'll see a better body of work coming through for 2024. I hope so. I don't know if there are any parting thoughts from you, Spoo, or Ro, if there's any advice for work for the coming year that you might think of.
Yeah, for me, what was really important in the work that really shone amongst the winners was the level of integrity that the work is done with. The subject matter is treated with sensitivity, with care. And I think that's really important in the world we live in. You have to take care. And I'm not saying it's just because some of these pieces were purpose-driven work or, you know, even if you're doing humor, you've got to treat it in a way that it has that sensitivity, has that, you can feel it's like real, it's not contrived. That's the work for me. That's the work for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Mine is, do we say best of month? is that what we're calling it now? And I think it's just bringing that back. It felt like there was a time when we had lost the mojo in just the show, the monthly show, and then the best of year show. And I think for me, I feel like the more entries, the more interesting the award show gets or the awarding of the work gets. For me, I think it's a beautiful snapshot of one entire year in South Africa from a January to a December. So I guess what I would encourage is people that just enter a whole lot more work and let's see how it fares on a month-to-month basis, because it's quite beautiful when you see them all collect up at the end of the year.
Yeah. No, we've got stuff, I have to say. And that's encouraging. So, folks, that's where we have to leave things for today. This is a new podcast. We'd really appreciate your support in getting the word out there. The Creative Circle really is the voice of South African creativity. So, firstly, if you've got any suggestions that you'd like to share in terms of topics that you'd want to have the people speak about, then please mail us on info@creativecircle.co.za. That's info@creativecircle.co.za. This is one of the rare occasions when an all-staff email or a provocative think piece about this podcast on LinkedIn is completely appropriate. So don't forget to follow, subscribe to the Talking in Creative Circles podcast to get future episodes. We're on all the main podcast platforms as well as on jacarandafm.com under JackPod. That's JACPOD. And just to my guests, Spoo and Roanna, thank you very much. Roanna, good luck with the new gig, with the new agency, Boundless. Well done on that. And Spoo, thank you for being here. You asked why would people want to listen to this podcast. I said, well, because there's a guy by the name of Spoo Sithole who's on the podcast. So thanks for being here. Thank you, everyone. Let's look out for the next one.
Awesome. Thank you, Carl.
Awesome. Thank you. It's been amazing. Thank you.
Talking Creative Circles is available wherever you get your podcasts.